You're listening to the preaching podcast of Victory Baptist Church in Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina, led by Pastor Jeremy Kobernak. It is our desire that you will be helped by this Bible message.
Romans chapter 8 this evening, we'll be reading verses 35 through 39. Thank you to all of our workers from Pastor Powell's tonight and the investment you're making in the children of Victory Baptist Church. Romans 8, we'll begin reading in verse number 35, a great passage of Scripture right before Brother Nathan comes and preaches. The Bible says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord."
Amen. You may be seated there. First thing I'm wondering, there's been a Bible up here all service long on the pulpit. I'm not quite sure whose it is, so if you're missing your Bible tonight, I'll put it right here. Should I look and see whose it is? Should we embarrass somebody tonight? I don't think we'll do that. Romans chapter 8, Brother Daniel read for us. You can sense the confidence that the Apostle Paul has, can't you, in this verse? Stating emphatically that nothing, no nothing, can separate us from the love of Christ. We see that verse in verse 37, "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." And then I'm going to focus on tonight that next phrase, starting in verse 38. Those next four words, would you please say those out loud with me, of the first four of verse 38. Ready? Begin. "For I am persuaded." Can you say that again? "For I am persuaded." Turn with me, please, to one more passage in Romans. And we're looking at Romans chapter 4 and in verse number 20. Romans chapter 4 and verse 20. The Apostle Paul is recounting and speaking of an Old Testament character, Abraham. And he says this, "He," Abraham, in verse 20 of Romans 4, "staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being," would you say those next two words with me, "fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able to perform." The Apostle Paul was stating Abraham was fully persuaded. That word persuaded tonight, it means confident. It means that if you're persuaded, you have security in the thing that you're persuaded of. You have a refuge. You trust it. You're won over. You're convinced. You're certain. And because you're persuaded, you will then obey and follow that which you're persuaded of. Tonight, Paul was persuaded. But I believe he wasn't just a little swayed. He was fully persuaded. Lord, I pray that you'd help us tonight as we cover that thought of being fully persuaded. Lord, I pray tonight as your word is preached, I pray, God, that you would help us to allow our hearts to be receptive, open, just willing to solidify and to confirm in our souls and our hearts tonight the very word of God and how true it can be to us as believers. Lord, I pray that you'd help us tonight to realize that it is not what we can muster up or the only strength that we can give, but yet we must fully rely on the strength that you give us each and every day, the promises that you give us each and every day. God, today I pray that we as Christians wouldn't just be a little bit convinced that the Christian life is worth living, but tonight I pray that we as Christians would make that decision that we are fully persuaded. Please help us with this thought tonight, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a lot of things that we can be persuaded in or persuaded of. I have no doubt tonight that there are some very strong opinions in the congregation. One of my very strong opinions is the flavor of Dorito chips that I love. And tonight, I have it right here. Doritos Spicy Sweet Chili, hands down, is the best Dorito flavor. I am fully persuaded. You don't have to try to convince me otherwise. You don't have to come out with a new flavor. I know. I've tasted the original. I've tasted the Cool Ranch. That's pretty good. But it has no match to the Spicy Sweet Chili. You can say that, oh, you came out with the Buffalo Wild Wing version or whatever it may be, the Ghost Pepper. But I tell you what, this is hands down the best flavor. Do I have anybody that agrees with me in here tonight? A few. I thought there'd be more. Who's never tried the purple bag of Doritos chips? See, this is what you'll have to do tonight. After church, go to Food Lion and get you some Spicy Sweet Chili Doritos. It's manna from heaven, and you will be convinced, I assure you. And if you're not, you're wrong. Just kidding. There's a lot of things we're convinced of. How about Coca-Cola or Pepsi? I'm hearing Pepsi, but do we have any Coca-Cola fans in the house? Okay. Who likes the Pepsi? Okay. Who doesn't drink soda? All right. We're split even thirds there. If you were to ask me, Brother Nathan, what's your favorite fast food burger? Hands down, fully persuaded here, it is In-N-Out Burger. In-N-Out Burger. Who has had In-N-Out Burger? Okay. If you've had it, I hope you're convinced just as I am. Now, you could say McDonald's, but it doesn't come close to an In-N-Out Burger. You can say Burger King. You can, Five Guys. Oh, those are incredible burgers, but it doesn't come close to In-N-Out Burger, in my humble opinion. We can talk about sports and talk about how your favorite sport may be basketball or football or what's that game called with the paddle ball? Apparently that's a new sport, okay? Pickleball? Brother Daniel, I was looking at you. I'm sorry, I even got the name wrong. And Miss Jodina, yeah, looking right at Daniel behind you there. And maybe you're convinced of what your favorite sport is, and that's hands down the best sport. We could talk about Duke or NC State or UNC, but we won't tonight for fear of a church split. We can talk about the weather. And if I were to think of the ideal weather day, it would be 72 degrees, sunny, no humidity. Doesn't that sound wonderful? Now, I talked to Anthony Gainey. He's a member of our church, and I talked to him from time to time. And usually I try to make it a point when it's raining out to go talk to him, because he tells us that, or he tells me, that he loves the rain. He says it's beautiful. And I tell you what, I need to maybe work on my attitude when it's raining outside, because I don't think it's beautiful that much. It's a little bit inconvenient, but the Lord's working on my heart there. The ideal weather day. In most of these categories, it would be extremely difficult, if not impossible, to convince you otherwise. Some of us are just set in our ways, so to speak. We're seemingly unmovable. You aren't going to budge or waver on your opinion. In other words, you may be fully persuaded. We're in the book of Romans tonight, and the writer of Romans is the Apostle Paul. If you were to ask me my favorite New Testament Bible character, I would have to say Jesus, right? Let's just get that out of the way. Jesus is my favorite. But if you were to say, secondly, it would be Paul. Who was Paul? Paul was a man who was the first and greatest, in my opinion, missionary to go around and to spread the gospel throughout the known world. Amen. He's an amazing man. He was dedicated. He truly was fully persuaded. He wasn't always that way, though, was he? As a matter of fact, he was probably, we could say, he was fully persuaded on the opposite end of the spectrum. He was throwing Christians in jail. He was persuaded that his way was the best way. Not until Jesus showed up on the road to Damascus and said, hey, Saul, I tell you what, you're going the wrong way. Let me go ahead and change your heart. Let me change your mind and let me tell you what the truth is. And from that point on, Saul became Paul, and he became a great man of God. In Scripture, we find the word persuaded 20 times. And in most of those cases, it's in reference to or speaking of the Apostle Paul. Paul was persuaded in Acts 21. Would you turn there quickly? It's just one book back from Romans, Acts 21, and in verse 10. Let's read a little bit about Paul's persuasion here as to be a Christian. The Bible says in verse 10, Acts 21 and verse 10, "And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus." What a wonderful name. "And when he came, was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his hands and feet and said, Thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And when we heard these things, we both we and they of that place besought him," that's Paul, "not to go up to Jerusalem." In verse 13, "Then Paul answered, What mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And when he would not be persuaded, we ceased, saying, The will of the Lord be done." Paul was fully persuaded. As a matter of fact, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, the Bible says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear." This is the Apostle Paul speaking to Timothy, a young preacher, "but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner." Isn't that interesting that Paul would refer to himself as a prisoner of Christ? "But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." Skipping a few verses, the Bible says, "Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus." Paul referred to himself as a prisoner of Christ. Paul was all in. He was not the director of his own life. He gave that power over to Christ. He ate, slept, and breathed the Great Commission. There was no other option for Paul. It was all to Jesus he surrendered. I think it's safe to say tonight that Paul was fully, completely, unashamedly persuaded to follow Christ. But the question is tonight, are you? Am I? Not only was Paul fully persuaded, but he also was used to persuade others to follow Christ. We find in Acts 13, 43, the Bible says, "Paul and Barnabas, who speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God." In Acts 19, 26, "Paul hath persuaded and turned away much people, saying that they be no gods which are made with hands." And then we come to Acts 26, that well-known account how Paul is brought before the rulers of the government there, one being King Agrippa. And Paul gives a very powerful and moving testimony, a full presentation of the gospel and how God changed his life and how God could change King Agrippa's life. And he concludes with this statement in verse 27 of Acts 26, "King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Clearly and sadly, King Agrippa was not persuaded to be a Christian. Because of that decision to reject Christ, King Agrippa is in hell today. Could I ask you, was that Paul's fault? Was Paul not convincing enough? Persuasive enough? Did Paul not word it quite right? Could I ask you tonight, who does the convicting? Who does the persuading? Who does the drawing and who does the saving? That's God. The Holy Spirit does the drawing and the convicting. In Romans 1:16, the Bible says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Power comes from God. The power to be saved comes from the Lord. It's not in us. And Paul knew that. As a matter of fact, he knew the Great Commission in Matthew 28. Jesus came and spake unto them, his disciples, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Amen. Jesus has all the power, was given to him, and he gives it to us. He allows us to be his messengers. In Acts 1:8, the Bible says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem," that would be our Roanoke Rapids, "in Judea," that would be, if you will, North Carolina or Halifax County, "and in Samaria," that would be our nation, "and then unto the uttermost part of the earth." I believe that one of the greatest fears why people don't share the gospel is simply because they don't think they can clearly present it. We don't want to share the gospel with our friend or with our family member because we're afraid we may say the wrong thing or we may not be convincing enough. But could I remind you tonight that if we're just obedient in being that messenger, if we just start talking about it, well, Scripture tells us that God is going to give us the answer. Scripture tells us that we can give the gospel, and he's the one who gives the power. He's the one who gives the ability to someone to get saved. So tonight, don't be fearful to be a soul winner. Paul understood that as he was delivering this message. He knew that the results were up to God. He said in 1 Corinthians 3:6, "I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase." Paul was also persuaded, we find, of Timothy's unfeigned faith. 2 Timothy 1:5, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded," there's that phrase again, "that in thee also." So what was Paul fully persuaded of? Just real quickly tonight, number one, he was persuaded fully of salvation. He says to the Ephesian church in chapter 2, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." He was fully persuaded of salvation, that it was only through Jesus Christ and not the good works that we could do. He was fully persuaded, number two, of the Scriptures. We find in 2 Timothy, as he's instructing Timothy, he said, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God." It was God-breathed. "And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Not only was the Apostle Paul fully persuaded of salvation and of the Scriptures being the very Word of God and being profitable, but yet he was also persuaded of service. That because of salvation and because of Scripture and because of what God expects of me, I need to give my life in service to him. Once we accept Christ as our Savior, we have to understand we're not saved to sit on our hands. We're saved to serve and to share the gospel with others. He referred to himself as a prisoner of Christ. He knew it was his duty, his service. This thought in the last two passages that I read was that we are created to glorify God through our good works. In Matthew 5:16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." You know what those good works are? It's the service after salvation. May we be faithful in serving him. Here's the message tonight. Three questions that you and I must answer as we ask ourselves. Number one, and am I fully persuaded? Am I fully persuaded? When it comes to being a Christian, am I on that solid foundation or am I a little bit shaky? Do I read my Bible? Do I share the gospel? Do I go to church? Do I pray? You know, those are important questions, but just as important of actually doing those things is knowing why you do them. And so, why do I read my Bible? Why do I share the gospel? Why do I go to church and why do I pray? Could I answer that for you tonight? I read my Bible because it's God's holy, inspired, infallible, inerrant, preserved Word of God. I read my Bible because God's Word is truth and I believe it all from cover to cover. God's Word, it changes lives. It's alive tonight. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. I read the Bible because I want to know God and I want to know what I can do to follow Him. I share the gospel because it's the power of God unto salvation. The gospel is the good news that must be shared. The best choice in my life was when I accepted Christ as my Savior. You remember that day? Doesn't someone else deserve to have that same opportunity to hear the gospel? I go to church because I need church. Because God is worthy of my worship. I go to church because God commands me to. I go to church because I get fed by the preaching of the Word of God. I go to church to be encouraged by God and His people. And I also go to church to be an encouragement to the family of God. Why do I pray? I pray because I can. God has made a direct access for you and I that we can go to the throne of grace through His Son, Jesus Christ. I pray because it's how I get to talk to my God, the one who is sovereign, who's all-knowing and all-powerful, who's everywhere at the same time. I pray because God is the one who created the universe, and He's the one who loves me and who died for me and who gives and gave His life for me. I pray because I believe God. I pray because God answers prayer. I believe. I've seen what God can do. He's changed my life. Amen. You don't have to convince me anymore. I'm convinced. I'm persuaded. I've experienced what Jesus has done for me. No one can talk me out of it. There's no turning back for me. It's all to Him. I surrender, and He is all I need. I owe it all to Him. Tonight, I believe that Jesus is real. Tonight, I believe that Jesus was really born of a virgin. Tonight, I believe that Jesus was really sinless. I believe Jesus was really and fully God. I believe Jesus was rejected by real people. I believe Jesus died on a real cross, and I believe Jesus shed His real blood. I believe Jesus was really buried, and I believe Jesus really rose again on that third day. Oh, I believe Jesus is alive today, sitting by the real Father on His real throne in heaven, which is a real place. I believe death is real. I believe hell is real, and I believe my sin is real. But praise God, I believe that Jesus really got the victory over it all. Amen. I believe the rapture is real, and I believe that Jesus is coming back. Amen. For real. I'm fully persuaded. I'm committed. Christ is my life. I believe God. And so, as the song says, let the storms rage high, the dark clouds rise. They won't worry me, for I'm sheltered safe within the arms of God. Last week in Sunday school, I challenged our teams to not have a plan B. I shared it on the winning side this week. When it comes to following God's will for your life and for mine, we should follow Him by faith. You know, God who doesn't fail, God who knows what's best for us. And I am fully persuaded that He is going to get it right the first time. Amen. That's called faith, believing that God can, and that believing that He has that perfect purpose and plan for your life and for mine. So why do we need a plan B? I challenge the teens with that, and I challenge you tonight, by faith, being fully persuaded, let's just believe that God is God and He knows all about it. He'll answer our prayers. He'll be the one to give us that confidence we need to live for Him each and every day. Trusting God, taking God at His word, and letting Him direct your path no matter what. So that first question tonight was, are you fully persuaded? My second question is this: are others fully persuaded that you're fully persuaded? Because I'm persuaded, that gives me purpose. That purpose should be obvious to those that are around me, that I encounter on a daily basis. Could I ask you, what do you spend your time doing? The free time. What do you talk about most of the time? What do you spend your money on? When you meet someone for the first time, it's called a first impression. And it's been said you never get a second chance to make a first impression. Experts say 55% of first impressions are made by what we see visually. 38% is the way we hear your first words. And then 7% are the actual words that you say. It is said that it takes less than 30 seconds to form an opinion of someone. So, in the first 30 seconds that someone meets you for the first time, do they see Jesus in you? And so the question is, what should be evident to others about me? What can others be fully persuaded that I'm fully persuaded about? Well, one, I should have a desire. And that desire should be evident. That desire should be obvious. What is your heart's desire tonight? Well, Paul's desire was to see people saved. It says in Romans 10:1, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." Not only a desire, but number two, I have a drive. That should be evident. As a Christian, if you're fully persuaded, there should be a purpose to your step. You should have a drive to get something done for the Lord. Not only that, but what should be evident? I have a dedication. We should have a dedication or a faithfulness. I'm not going to give up on God because He's never given up on me. I'm going to be faithful to God because He's been faithful to me. There's a dedication there. If we as fully persuaded Christians are living our lives, that ought to be evident, our faithfulness to Him. What ought to be evident? Well, that I have decided. There are some things in our life that are already decided when you're fully persuaded. Being fully persuaded comes with a pre-decision package. There are things that we know that are evident in God's Word, and they should be evident in our life. The decision's already been made. And so when you're faced with those decisions on a daily basis, we ought to say, well, that's not a hard decision. I've already made up my mind. I've already made a decision about this because God's Word has already said it. There are decisions that should be evident as a fully persuaded Christian. I remember just getting saved in the seventh grade, and on Wednesday nights, there would be, mostly with our school, there would be sports, and basketball would, there would always be a game on Wednesday night. And whether it was the guys' team or that season was over, and then the girls would play on Wednesday night. But when I just got saved, one of the decisions that I had made in my heart was, hey, whenever the church doors are open, I want to be there. And when I had to make the decision, am I going to go to a basketball game or am I going to go to church? I had to make that decision. I had to stand by my decision. Did some of my friends say, what? You're going to church? It's Wednesday. I mean, isn't that for Sunday? And I told them, I said, well, I'm a Christian. I'm saved. I want to go to church. And so I would miss out on some of the basketball games. And as I continued to make that decision, and every time that Wednesday came rolling around, friends stopped asking me, what, you're going to church? And they started saying, hey, I might go with you one of these days. But it's a decision that I made early in my life, that I'm just going to be faithful to church whenever the doors are open. Monday night revival, count me in. Well, I have to be here now. But I'll tell you what, when I wasn't on a staff anywhere and I was just a teenager, you can count me in too. And as a church member, as a Christian tonight, you should count yourself in. Because of my decisions, there is an obvious direction. That's the next one. Decisions determine your direction, and your direction determines your destination. Not only a direction, but a duty. As Paul said, he's a prisoner of Christ. So what is our mission as a Christian? Are we fully persuaded to where people will see that we have a duty to accomplish? We're on a mission. And with that comes an evident and an obvious disposition. What is that? That's our spirit. That's our prevailing attitude. If you're a fully persuaded Christian tonight, Christ ought to be radiating through you and your spirit. May we be happy Christians. May we be Christians that are joyful. I'm not talking about being fake. I understand that we have trials and we have hard days and bad hair days and different things. But I tell you what, if Jesus is our Savior and we know we're going to heaven one day, all of that stuff and the circumstances can pale in comparison to what we have in Christ. And that ought to break through any discouragement that we may have, that we have joy from our salvation. The last question tonight, and I'll be done. Are you persuaded? Are others fully persuaded that you're fully persuaded? The last question, is God fully persuaded that I'm fully persuaded? You see, we can try to convince ourselves and we can try to convince others that we're persuaded. But if it's not real, God already knows. We can try to psych ourselves up and say, yeah, I'm a Christian. I'm ready. I'm persuaded. Let's do it. And then the next day, you're rolling out of bed. I don't feel like it today. Is it real? And if it is, God knows. Because in 1 Samuel 16:7, the Bible says, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Ultimately, we must understand that being fully persuaded is a result that is only possible through God. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And it's all because of him and what he's done in you and through you that has caused us to be fully persuaded. When God knows you're real, he can then use you. As a matter of fact, it's not how much you know. And maybe that's what you're stuck on. Well, I know the Bible. I know what's right. I know what's wrong. And I'm fully persuaded that the Bible is truth. And I think others believe me too. But it's not just the knowledge and knowing that matters. But it's truly how much of me does God have that truly matters. How are we going to stay fully persuaded? As a Christian, just quickly, let's remove distractions. Keep your eyes on Jesus. I understand that we're humans. We have weaknesses. But in our weakness, he is made strong. Christ is our strength. And so if we keep our eyes on him, we'll be okay. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Remove distractions. You want to stay fully persuaded tonight? You want to stay there on that decision? Remove distractions. Number two, relinquish doubts. Believe God can and he will. Doubts come from fear. Fear comes from rationalizing a situation in your own strength. You can't. Let's just be honest. We can't. But God can. Number three, resist the devil. You better believe that if you make that decision to be a fully persuaded Christian, you better believe that the devil is going to try to stop what God is doing through you. So tonight, as we close, are you fully persuaded? Is my heart in it? Do I care for God, for his word, for people? Or am I apathetic? I go to church. It's all right. Is my mind in it? Is my might in it? You know, today it's not uncommon to see Christians who are not fully persuaded, and that's a sad fact. They're just a little bit swayed. Yeah, I'll go to church. Church is important, but it's not a priority. The Bible is reverenced as God's word, but it's not heeded. Being religious is a family tradition, but it's not real. Being fully persuaded means no turning back. I love that song. I've decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. There's no turning back. Though no one join me, still I will follow. I have decided to follow Jesus. Tonight, are we fully persuaded?
Thank you for listening to the preaching podcast of Victory Baptist Church in Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina, led by Pastor Jeremy Coburnack. For more information about our ministry, please visit our website at vbcrr.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.